Right now, though, we talk fantasy baseball as we turn to one of the best in the business. He's the host of the Fantasy Baseball Hour on Fantasy Radio. You see his work as well on Fantrax and Fangraphs. Al Melchior, great to have you back with us.
Rich, love being back. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, my goodness, it's been a great start to the baseball season. We're about at the one-third mark. Mike Trout having a remarkable year. Mookie Betts with the Red Sox. Who's the guy who's earned their owners the most money so far this season?
Oh, boy. Well, not Paul Goldschmidt, that's for sure. But, you know, on the other end of the continuum in terms of, you know, who was really a great value. I mean, you know, this is not somebody who was, you know, not going in the early rounds, but I still don't think anybody foresaw exactly how valuable Jose Ramirez was going to be this year. So I've got to think he is way up there. And Andrew Benintendi, I think, has certainly paid back his value and then some. And that's even with him after a little bit of a slow start. I think Javier Baez would rank up there. So, you know, those are certainly some names that come to mind.
I always love those guys who, you can maybe in an auction draft can maybe get for $10 or $12 who on a regular basis will earn you $15 or $20. Those little profit centers. And one of those for me in recent years has always been Cole Calhoun. What the heck has happened to that guy?
I don't know. Just, you know, there are just seasons like this. And actually what it's sort of reminiscent of to me is, well, you may remember this, but not when it was a member of the Red Sox, but Mike Lowell with the Marlins, who was just as consistent as they came. And he had this one season where he just fell off the map, just like Clinton is right now. And the very next season, he was, you know, right back, you know, where he had been previously. So that's basically just a way for me to say, I don't know. I don't understand what's happened with Cole Calhoun. You know, maybe, you know, there's, I mean, he just recently went on the DL, so maybe this oblique injury is something that's bothered him longer and more than has been reported. But, you know, we can only speculate, really. It's just staggering how much his production dropped off.
Another guy who seems to be taking his game to the next level, and you called it maybe a couple weeks early, but a big game the other day from Minnesota Twins outfielder Eddie Rosario, who's now got 13 homers, 40 RBIs this season.
Yeah, no, I mean, he is legit, in spite of the fact that he still has some of the worst plate discipline in the majors, but doesn't, you know, I guess unless you're playing in an OBP league, you know, where a low walk rate hurts you a little bit. It just doesn't seem to hurt him. I mean, he's got power. And, you know, it's funny that you brought up that I called the three-homer game for him on Twitter, but I did it 2 weeks too early because I just happened to be at Target Field a couple weekends ago, and it was super windy. And so I'm thinking, and it was blowing straight out to right field, so I thought, okay, who are some left-handed pole hitters in this game? It's like, oh, Eddie Rosario, this weather is made for him. And he didn't really have a great game that day, but it was similar condition on Sunday. And apparently that's a common, from what I've heard from a couple of people on Twitter, I guess it's a common weather pattern at Target Field. So it suits Rosario well, who has legit power and does pull the ball a lot and you know, can just dump it right into the right field stands.
Everybody's got their own approach to things. A lot of folks like to wait until Memorial Day to maybe make the determination on their team. I've already thrown up the yellow flag with my team, but now people begin to look for trade targets, for bargains out there. And one place to always look is to unsettled bullpens. Where would be a couple of places where people could go and maybe grab themselves a closer out of the free agent pool who no one has yet?
Well, you know, the problem is that in the past when there's unsettled bullpen, there's, you know, usually some hope that within a couple of weeks that situation is going to clear itself up. But now that, you know, we've got so much, you know, unorthodox usage in the last year or two, you know, a situation like Tampa Bay would be one where you look and you say, okay, well, Chaz Rose got some pretty good peripherals. He's getting some chances to pitch in the late innings. Alex Colome's out of the way. But Kevin Cash does not seem inclined to go with a single closer there and just, you know, go with somebody who's breaking out. Similar situation in Philadelphia, but I still think it's worthwhile if he's available in your league to go after Sir Anthony Dominguez, because even though Gabe Kapler is going with four or five different relievers in save situations, as crazy as that sounds, Dominguez is just by far has been the best out of that whole group. He's been almost perfect for roughly a month now. So, you know, if Gabe Kapler ever gets the inclination to settle in on one person, Dominguez, to me, would be the obvious one.
What's going to happen in Kansas City if, indeed, they ship Kelvin Herrera somewhere to be a setup guy, probably? Who's the next guy up? Would it be McCarthy?
Maybe. You know, it's like, because I thought I had this one solved, because Brad Keller was pitching really well out of the bullpen, being used very frequently in the setup role, but then about a week ago, they moved him into the rotation. So back to square one there. And the guy that I have already speculated on in one league, a pretty deep league, is Jason Adam. Mm. He's seen a little bit of high leverage work since they called him up. He profiles more as a conventional closer than McCarthy does. And Grant, that's, you know, me talking as a fantasy owner. Ned Yost may have different ideas and not care about Kevin McCarthy's strikeout rate, but I am a big believer that over the long haul that the skill set wins out. And I just think Adam's got the best one of the group that's there that's not Herrera. And by the way, I mean, you know, I'm not totally opposed to the idea of speculating on a contact pitcher, because last year Alex Claudio was clearly the best reliever in the Rangers bullpen, and he did walk away with that job towards the end of the season. So I just think Adam is a better reliever than McCarthy, and he's Yost has shown some inclination to use him late in games.
He's got one major league start under his belt. If he's available, is it worth a flyer on Shane Bieber of Cleveland?
Oh, absolutely. I you know, don't see any reason why he's not going to be up at some point later on. The fact that, you know, he's the one that the organization turned to make the spot start, when he did fairly well. I mean, he certainly did glitter with you know, each turn through the order, but I'm sure he'll be back up, you know, maybe within the next few weeks, and certainly worth stashing until whenever it is he does come up again.
All right, Al, who's a good one or two maybe good buy low candidates, guys who are struggling right now but are likely to turn it around at some point fairly soon?
Well, one guy that I talked about on my show today that definitely fits that description is Domingo Germán, who was fantastic in out of the bullpen for the Yankees earlier in the year, and you know, really has, other than, you know, that first start he had, he was fantastic, and then, you know, hasn't really put together a great start since then. But he's really been a victim of just stranding too many runners, and, you know, people who are, you know, big into the advanced stats. I mean, you know, one of the things that's, you know, commonly understood is that strand rate is one of the more random indicators. It's a really good indicator of luck when it strays, you know, too far from the 70% to 75% range. And as a starter, Herman's strand rate is just—I know I've got it here somewhere, 53%,
wow.
20 points below the norm. So you know, he's doing a lot of things really well, and he's not—you know—I don't think he's putting on, you know, so many base runners that you should be scared away from him. So you know, he's certainly somebody, it may not even be owned in the shallower league, but maybe in like a 14-15 team format, I think that you know, he's somebody that is good to make a move for right now.
I like that. He's sitting right there on my reserve list already. That is fantastic. Now, how about the sell high guys? Who is doing it with smoke and mirrors right now, or at least a ridiculously fortunate batting average on balls in play?
Well, you know, actually, I wanted to get to a few hitters, but actually, on yesterday's show on Fantasy Sports Radio, I talked about a whole bunch of these guys who had started on Sunday. Michael Wacha, who also is a no-hitter, he's got a 242 BABIP that is, does not look sustainable. There's some pitchers that, you know, they may be legit 260-270 BABIP guys. Michael Wacha is not one of them. And Matt is not one of them. John Lester is not one of them, and they've all been, you know, pitching well lately with low ERA. So as far as pitchers go, you know, that those are are guys that I think if you own them, it certainly would behoove you to deal them. And I also feel the same way about Patrick Corbin, who I do own and who I really need to get out on the market. As far as hitters go, you know, honestly, I wanted to start with hitters because there's not too many hitters I can look at and say, well, you know, that's a really inflated BABIP. And the ones that clearly are in that category, I think are ones that, you know, they're not giving you a whole lot of value outside the batting average. So like Starlin Castro, I don't see him, you know, sustaining close to a 350 BABIP. I think, you know, maybe somebody like, a, you know, a John Jay is due for some regression. These are all, you know, just batting average guys. So I guess Dansby Swanson, you know, and again, he's probably a little bit more of a deeper league guy, but he's somebody who certainly I think is due for some regression. But again, no, there's not a whole lot of obvious hitters who are overachieving, at least in terms of batting average.
Well, I'm in your debt, Al. The only reason I'm hanging in there at all, one of them is because I hung on to it. At your suggestion, Andrelton Simmons, who I had for $7.
Oh, that's fantastic. And, you know, the shortstop, you know, if you've got somebody that you can actually start every week, which you can obviously do with Simmons, that's terrific. So I'm glad that's worked out.
One of the few that's worked out for me so far, but it's a long season. Time to tweak, time to make moves, and I appreciate you adding some insight this afternoon. Al Melchior from the Fantasy Baseball Hour, Fantrax, Fangraphs. Al, it's always great to talk with you. Thanks for making time for us this afternoon.
Oh, always my pleasure, Rich. Thanks so much.